There's a name for you ladies, but it isn't used in high society, outside of a kennel.
Woof, woof, baby.
Uh-huh. Welcome to the Clatch. We are at least two-thirds full here this morning, this afternoon. I'm here in the studio with my friend Heidi Skrypek. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, more coffee, please.
More coffee. I don't know how you do that. And I'm Susan McCabe, and we are awaiting our host, Linda Nygaard, who seems to have developed a star attitude.
So much for the anchor.
Yeah, really.
The show.
The anchor of the show has dropped, or not. Ugh. And we're here waiting for her to make her big entrance.
Yes.
You know, I mean, she had to be late because of a silly COVID vaccine.
Ooh, lucky pants.
Yeah, well, I guess that makes us lucky, too. At least we know she's not going to be spreading it.
Yeah, you know. We have to stick condoms on the microphones, by the way.
Yes, we do. We do.
They're pretty awesome. They're these little thin... I mean, it does bring back some memories.
Reminds me of a shower. I mean, like, a shower cap.
Not a condom.
No, not a condom or, you know, the golden shower, but we won't go there. So I think I see Linda approaching the door.
Oh, well, hello there. I see her, too. She's on her way. It hailed, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Hello there, cowgirl.
There she is. Our Montana cowgirl.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Hi, everybody. I'm sorry I'm late. Listen to this music.
This is for you.
Fistful of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Did you bring a fistful of dollars?
Obviously.
Of course.
You got to show up with money.
This sound effect is longer than I thought.
I like it.
It's good music too. Good stuff. So, gee, so glad you could get here.
Well, I was really glad to be here too, and I thank you for covering for me for a minute. Although I'm still not clear on why I'm the host, just because it was my idea.
Because it was your idea.
But
that's right.
You know, you guys could do it too.
Yeah,
I'll train you. It'll be all right.
It's fun with you.
Yeah, I know. It is fun.
So, hi, everybody.
So this is the Clatch.
We're all together.
We even have a sign. And we're hoping that you're listening and getting ready to send us your ideas for conversation to theclatch@voiceofvashon.org.
I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. Please. It exists. We have an email address that is all our own.
You know, we're having a lot of fun here. We do have fun things. And we also would like to engage the community in talking about the things that matter as well. I mean, maybe there's a local issue. Maybe there's a national issue. Maybe there's a funny story. Maybe you'd like to call in. We're going to get that figured out probably by next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then maybe you'd like to call in and tell us a funny story or a sad story or ask a question, which we may or may not answer.
Every other Tuesday.
Every other Tuesday.
3 o'clock, yeah.
We are not
obliged to answer all questions. But I think we did want to briefly talk about COVID and coping tactics and how we're all doing with that. What have you got, ladies?
Well, my thing now is trying to engage in rituals.
Okay.
And so I think we're going to talk about that later.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about rituals later. But also, and this is because I'm ill-informed and unprepared, Voice of Vashon sent out an email last week with all kinds of helpful hints on it. And it was a separate email from the situation awareness email that comes
perfect.
Out.
Oh, that's Vashon Be Prepared.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's not
sorry.
Voice of Vashon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry.
Right.
Vashon Be Prepared. Mm-hmm. And they had some really wonderful discussions, little 2-minute things that you can listen to about what to do, how to do it. It's really wonderful. And it's run by 2 PhD psychologists. So
wow.
Now, don't quote me on PhD psychologists, but I know one's a PhD and the other one, I don't know.
Is that Jenna Rizdahl and Ren Hudson?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Susan. You always know everything. Thanks.
She kind of does.
Every once in a while, I pull it out of my...
I've only spoken with Ren, and he's great. He's got a lot of things to offer all of us with regard to holding on. The other thing I learned this week is that, you know what? We're not the only ones going through... Or I'm not the only one, let's put it that way, going through okay, what am I going to do now? Time is the same. The day is the same. But other people are experiencing it too. And I've had a little bit of, not upset, I guess maybe wondering where everybody is.
Yeah.
How come nobody's checking? Well, you know what? Everybody's checking on their own stuff.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's doing what it is they do. And our community holds together pretty well, I think.
I do too.
But we've got a few more months to go before we're open again.
I think possibly even more than that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I read an essay in the New York Times. When was it?
Wait a minute. I want to hear some of the tips that Risdahl and Hudson offered. You said you read about some tips. I wonder if you remember any of them.
No. Sorry. No, you'll just have to look it up.
Coping tips. Okay.
And look up the email. I'm sorry. I had it printed out, but I forgot to bring it. So instead of that, I would tell you that I read an essay by George Saunders on kindness and how important it is right now. And I'm finding that that's one of the things that helps me best through this is doing something nice for somebody else.
Oh, of course. Yes. You know, altruism.
Is that what that is? I don't know. It's just, you know, you see a friend and you do something or you take something or you say something. And by virtue of offering kindness, it comes directly back to you in the form of energy of feeling better or, you know, just relating to another human being.
It's so important.
So my big thing right now is kindness. I made a birthday cake yesterday
for
a friend of mine.
I was about to ask you what you do. Yeah.
And that was really fun. That was really fun to do that. And it was well received and everybody liked it. And it felt like time out of time for me because I was doing something normal. I actually delivered it in my car.
Oh, you know? Yeah, I mean, it does feel,
It just felt like, okay, I'm going over to Wendy's house.
Yeah, I made a birthday cake for my husband a week ago, and we just got rid of the last piece. And let me tell you, I was glad to see it go.
Oh.
It was good.
Yeah.
It turned out well. I called it the sorry cake.
Aw.
I wrote sorry on the top of it.
Oh,
because.
They're all good.
He told me he wanted sour cream frosting.
Okay.
Uh-oh. So I looked up the recipe and I made sour cream frosting. Well, that stuff's kind of thin.
Uh-oh.
And so I asked him, I said, is that what you really wanted? He said, well, I want the really thick stuff. Well, that's buttercream frosting.
Buttercream, not sour cream. Oh,
right.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
So
I made buttercream.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
That's good. Can I circle back to that kindness thing?
Please.
A little bit. This is one of the things that Ezra Klein said, talking about kindness. He said, and on the days that I feel bad for feeling bad because my situation is objectively fine. Nobody's sick and I'm healthy and I haven't lost my job. And then there are the days I feel good. And I feel bad for feeling good because somebody else is suffering.
Oh my
and
God.
So he's talking about coming out of himself and doing something for somebody else, and it negates all that other stuff.
I think that's beautiful. It's a mitzvah, essentially.
Yeah, it is a mitzvah.
A mitzvah.
Right? It is. And how about you, Heidi? What are you doing to cope?
We've done a few mitzvahs. Coping for me personally is extremely, there's a lot, but swimming is the main.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see by my t-shirt. It says, I swim so I don't choke people.
I like that.
In a nutshell, I swim. But I'm taking a little break because I have some other health stuff going on. But yeah, that's my main thing. And we've cultivated this awesome community on the island that via an app called Meetup, which is ironic during a pandemic. You're not supposed to gather, right?
Yeah.
But we're able to meet outside and be spaced apart. And then we submerge ourselves in the water for an hour or two. And we're never in close proximity. And it's fabulous. And you leave with endorphins.
Yes, that sounds so wonderful.
Mild hypothermia and endorphins.
Right. Yeah, so you don't know how bad you feel.
Yeah. Puget Sound is amazing, though. There's a lot to see under the water.
Yeah, I bet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the main thing. But in terms of mitzvahs, starting early last spring, we had new neighbors, and David and I picked nettles, which was on their property line. And so we made this fabulous homemade nettle pasta. And We let we shared the pasta linguine noodles. We have this awesome, you know, one of those Cuisinarts with the attachments. Uh-huh. So we texted them and said, "Hey neighbor, we made nettle pasta with nettles on your property. Thank you. We'd like to share some." So we did like a door drop. And it was just a small serving, and they were so excited about that. It was a really nice way to get to know the neighbors.
Oh, how cool.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
that's a test of their taste and their politics.
Very
right there.
Much so. Well, that's a good point.
It certainly is.
I hadn't thought about that. It's just like, eat this pasta.
That's a multi-layered really mitzvah.
Yeah.
Also a little bit of investigation.
Yeah.
A little bit of get to know your neighbor.
100%. And they're good people, and I can't wait till we can actually commingle.
Yeah.
It'll be really nice.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah. What you got, Linda?
Well, you know, were we going to talk about, I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine.
We were going to talk about women in restaurants at some point. Was that today?
I would like to talk about food in general and food conservation, because it's just hot on my mind. It's just burning.
Well, it started with that leftover thing.
Yes.
Right? That's right.
Yeah.
So, the New York Times article about leftovers, and like, what was it that bothered you about it? Like, the whole idea was new.
Was it about?
What?
And what was it that kind of annoyed
you? Me to get in trouble here, right?
Come on.
Well, actually, it was a New York Times article, opinion piece, maybe, called something about "Through COVID, I discovered leftovers" or something. I'm not sure what the title of it was, but it was a mom going on and on and on about her daughter who discovered leftovers. And wasn't it amazing that she discovered she can actually do something else with that chicken carcass?
Oh my God.
And you know what else? She can save some leftovers and combine them later.
How about that?
And you know, so I sent it to Heidi, and I said, "Heidi, read this."
Yeah.
And I don't remember what I said in the email, but I was all up in arms about it, because I thought it was so ridiculous. I mean, we've all been doing leftovers. But then I thought,
have we?
You know, obviously
apparently
we
not. Yeah.
Because my upbringing in my young adulthood was way different than it is now.
Way different.
Way different. And people now don't have the time or the inclination, really, to think like that. They're either ordering out, or they're cooking one dish and then they're wondering what's going to happen tomorrow night, you know?
And you know, that has exacerbated the problem of food waste.
For sure.
Yes,
food
it has.
Food waste
is
bad for the environment.
Yeah.
And the way it has to be managed, the methane that it creates, all the poo-poo caca that is caused by people throwing food away. Like, I grew up as a Catholic kid, and you ate everything
because children
in China were starving.
That's right.
Take what you eat and eat what you take.
That's right.
That was Clean Plate Club.
I have a friend whose mom said to him, "You know, there are starving children in India."
Right?
And he said, "Name one."
Oh, a little smart ass.
Little brat.
That's funny.
Yeah, I used to say, "Okay, so send my dinner to China."
So I contend that it's not just inclination, it's education. And that was something that we all had in home economics class,
right?
In public school or private school.
That's true.
I think they should bring it back.
Bring it back.
Yes.
I didn't know it went away.
Oh, yeah.
It hasn't
been around
for,
I don't know, it probably left in the 80s.
Well,
left a long time
80s,
ago.
Yeah. So there is a woman who actually lives part-time on this island. Her name is Sarah Dickerman. She is a cookbook author and a former chef, excellent writer. And she has a book called The Secrets of Great Second Meals, Flexible Modern Recipes That Value Time and Limit Waste.
That's
Learn
wonderful.
To love your leftovers.
All right.
Yeah. So, Sarah Dickerman.
Sarah, go.
Hi, Sarah Dickerman.
It's your birthday. It's not her birthday, but it is a cool hardcover book, and it is a definite keepsake reference. And she basically will walk you through any given staple or entree, and you can, you know, one day it's one thing, but the next day it's another and another and another. And there's actually a book credit in there for my chicken's eggs. Thank you very much.
Oh, really? Well, they deserve that.
Chickens, take a bow.
Yeah.
Do your chickens lay particularly wonderful eggs or what?
I think so.
Well, of course they do.
They're grass pastured. I let them free range all day long. And
the eggs are delicious.
And we give them composted, you know, our food scraps that are chicken uh-huh. friendly. And so, yes, they're quite spoiled.
That's a good way to deal with food waste.
You're absolutely right.
Composting, feeding chickens, feeding pigs.
Oh, composting. Speaking of which, yes. So I live in an apartment, you know, and so composting is difficult for me. There's yeah. no place to do
that
it.
That little pile in the middle of your living room kind of smells bad.
I have a friend, Hannah Green,
yeah.
who brings me eggs every week.
Oh, cool.
And I save my compost for her because she's raising worms.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Perfect.
So, it's kind of fun because I just have it there and I know that it's going to go back and it's not just going in the garbage.
That's
know?
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. You know, and I've often wondered about the health department laws that require that restaurants dispose of the food they don't use every day right. rather than giving it to
right.
homeless people,
I know.
Right. food banks, yeah. compost
something.
Yeah.
So there's a company that's using AI for grocery stores.
Artificial intelligence.
Yes, thank you. To eliminate some of that food waste situation, at least coming out of retail. Delis, for example, 40% food waste from the sandwiches.
Wow.
40%.
Wow.
The delis have the worst problem.
Wow.
So this company called Shelf Engine out of Seattle is working with grocery stores, and it's just machine learning. So basically they're tracking scan data and then they're able to figure out how to optimize.
What's the name of that company?
Shelf Engine. It's a weird name, but that's what they're doing.
I want to look at that because yeah. that, I don't, I, it's yeah. amazing.
So they're working with UNFI, which is a massive natural foods distributor, mm-hmm. and just trying to work with their partners and their retailers to help eliminate food waste. And I think that's such a cool thing because a lot of people do eat from the deli and we love our delis. I mean,
yes,
they're great.
Yes, we do.
But it's also like you have a little ping of guilt.
Why is there more waste at the deli?
They just haven't mastered that predictability of when things
like
are
like a restaurant.
Yeah. So
interesting.
It's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah. important.
Mm-hmm. It's very important.
So yay for Shelf Engine. But
yeah.
But at home, you know, to eliminate food waste, there's a lot of things you can do. Like the leftover thing is great.
Well, I'm looking at this cookbook that you brought, Secrets of Great Second Meals.
Yeah.
Sarah Dickerman.
Yeah, baby.
She's got a planked salmon recipe in here, and she tells you exactly how to do it, the tricks about soaking the plank, blah, blah, blah. And then
ta-da.
The next page is here's how to use the leftovers
yep.
in a salad, in a sauce, in this,
oh,
in
cool.
that. And, you know, so you can, wow, that's great. I'd love to look at it.
She's led some classes at Relish in the past, which are really fun.
I wonder if that book is available at the Vachon Bookshop.
I'm yeah. certain it is.
Do you yeah. guys do bulk foods at the grocery store?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Linda, what's your thing? What do you like to buy out of there? I do quinoa.
I do rice.
Rice.
Yeah.
Dried fruit.
Dried fruit and that kind of stuff, but not a lot. I don't buy all bulk. But
And Susan?
Granola.
Yeah.
Oats. Mm. Rolled yeah. oats.
Oh, good one.
What else do I get in bulk? Flour.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool.
Quinoa flour is great for making pancakes because it's high in protein.
It is high in protein.
Yeah.
How does it change the texture?
It's not bad. I use a lot of egg whites in my pancakes, so it lightens everything up.
So you're fluffy.
They're fluffy. Yes.
You know what a fluffer is?
No.
Yes.
What is it?
Next. It's in pornography. A fluffer is the person that sustains a man's erection.
Perfectly done.
Thank you.
Wow. Nicely put. Very clinical.
A
fluffer.
Not that
that's called a fluffer.
Not that I watch porn or anything. I'm just saying.
She just read about it somewhere.
Heidi is highly educated in many fields.
You know, that's what happens when you're a journalist.
You learn a lot about a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Dangerous. Yeah.
Some things stick.
Also on that food topic, so we go back to the quick reversion.
Nice segue.
You know, there are two really interesting delivery services. I mean, Blue Apron is one thing where right. these meal kits show up on your doorstep. I think that's super wasteful too, because think of all the packaging.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't want
right?
that. Right.
And people need to learn how to cook at home and put their stuff together. I almost said an expletive there. but there are also these really amazing delivery services. And there's been such a boom in this industry since the pandemic took hold. And locally, there are two that have mm-hmm. emerged. One is called familymeals.us. And that is Chef Maximilian Petty and Jesse Smith. they are both chefs and they've come together and they've created this really cool menu plan, and you can go look it up, and it shows it's not on Vashon, for goodness sakes, which is my big thing, but they deliver from like Snohomish all the way down to Pierce County, and they're these wonderful, affordable, really wonderful chef made meals. Boom.
But we can't get them here?
We can't get them here.
Oh.
And same with Soundbites Delivers, which is produced by Cedar Grove Compost.
Oh.
They are doing a huge delivery service, same footprint, Pierce to Snohomish County and inland all the way to Issaquah. You can order compost, other soil amendments, because Cedar Grove, that's what they do. They're a compost company that redoes. Super cool. But then they're doing meal kits. They're doing meals from restaurants like Duke's and like really good restaurants, El Gaucho.
But the problem I have with all that is the packaging and the pollution created by the trucking.
The delivery.
Road miles. Yeah.
Yeah.
The way to go is just to learn how to cook.
Right. It really is.
And a lot of people have during COVID.
And you know what else? Shall we seg into something else?
What?
The big middle finger to the industrial food system. That is gardening.
Yes.
All right.
Tis the season to be thinking about that and even planting.
It's happening.
Oh, you know, I'm not a gardener. You know that.
But were you ever?
When I was a kid, yeah, I had to. And when I was a hippie. Way back in the day, yeah.
And when did you have this epiphany that you were not a gardener?
Oh, probably the first year I tried it. No, I used to garden with my mom all the time, and I really learned to not like it. I just didn't like it. I love planting things. That part I can do.
Mm-hmm.
I love harvesting things. But that time in the middle is kind of gruesome for me.
You didn't like the tween time?
No, tween time, no. And I used to have to dig the potatoes for dinner for like 10 people every day.
That's a dirty job.
It was a dirty job, and I hated it. I hated it. But, you know, now I would gladly go dig some potatoes because they're so good.
It's so fun.
And it's kind of fun, you know?
You kind of discover
them.
But
when you're a teenager, it's not.
Well, right. Right.
It's more punishment.
You know, I never thought I would be interested in gardening. And throughout my adult life, my life in the suburbs of Chicago and as a professional person, I thought, gardening, it's for the masses. It's beneath me, right? Then I moved here and everything grows here.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it's true.
Yeah. And I started falling in love with just growing the peas and watching how the mama pea plant wants you to take her babies, but she's not going to make it easy for you. You have to look for them, just like the potato plant.
Yeah.
You have to dig them up, and you keep digging, you find more. And all that is just great fun. And I am the world's most experimental sloppy gardener.
Oh, I think your garden's lovely. So it's the season. It's the middle of February. So what happens now in gardening?
I'm going to tell you in 1 second. We're going to listen.
Okay, I'm going to guess. Oh, we're going to listen.
Voice of Vashon thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support, making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at windermerevashon.com.
VOV programming support is provided by the Hardware Store Restaurant, serving great good food, free Wi-Fi, and signature cocktails in an historic 125-year-old building, the heartbeat of Vashon Island. On the web at thsrestaurant.com.
Great good food.
Yes.
Thank you to our underwriters. So right now, being that it is the third week of February, we are getting sort of the cold hardy starts, the little seedlings, little seeds actually into seed trays. Things that can handle some of this colder weather. Like it was 36 in town with that freak little hailstorm that just happened. It's not that warm.
That was surprising. Yeah.
I do have a greenhouse, so it helps. You don't have to worry so much about that stuff. But yeah, it's time to get seeds into seed trays. So I've got some pea shoots going. I've got all kinds of brassicas going. I've got my kale.
Wait, broccoli. What, brassica?
Brassica.
Broccoli kind of things.
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
And so what
farter
about...
starter.
What about...
things that make you fart.
What about... Oh, my God. This is a serious show, you can tell. What about soil prep now? What happens now for soil prep?
Yeah.
Anything?
Well, right now at our house, we have garden beds that have recessed over time. Like soil tends to kind of go down.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So we will be getting new soil from a local place that will be organic compost, and we'll mix it all together, mm-hmm. basically. And we do our own compost also, and yeah. we'll get down to the bottom of the bin and dig some of that up and amend. But that has been a real conflict ever since Dig went away, because we used to get it from Dig, mm-hmm. and it was this really rich, black, organic mm-hmm. matter.
Yeah, good stuff.
And then somebody was just selling their wares on the interwebs on Facebook on Vashon, and we ordered from them, and it was super undernourished. It was starved of nitrogen.
Oh.
So it was just crap. Like yeah. it showed up wet, so it looked dark like the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. It was poop. I mean, no, it was. I wish it was poop.
It wasn't poop.
It was garbage dirt.
How did you know?
Because I moved my seedlings into this stuff, and they started to get sick.
Wow.
Yeah, it was super lame, because they're taking root and they're growing, but they're growing in kind of an atrophied way, and just things weren't looking right, and they weren't really thriving. Mm. And David mentioned, oh yeah, the guy said maybe it could use a little nitrogen, and I'm like, a little?
Oh dear.
I should have tested it. That was on us. Like, we didn't actually do a soil test. We just trusted the guy. Well, and we ordered like more than 3 yards
wow.
of it. Dude, that's a lot of money.
So then what happened?
That's
did
a lot
you
of money.
Add nitrogen, or did you dig it all up?
We went into our compost and we just went around the plantings mm-hmm. as best we could and tried to work it in. And it was quite a chore.
I bet it was.
Did it work?
Yeah, it ultimately did work.
Good.
It did. But it was it was scary, and it was a lesson for us. Like, we need a good person, and or we need to test it ourselves to make mm-hmm. sure. But honestly, like, I love the Cedar Grove compost stuff. That's great. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. If you can get good soil, great. But I need a new guy. Like, we need our girl. I just need a new source for good dirt.
And there again, something that really could be happening on the island without mm-hmm. taking our garbage, sending it to Cedar Grove.
Amen.
And then having them drive it back.
Amen.
And buy it from them.
Does anyone our out there stuff. Who's listening maybe know somebody locally that's not, you know,
that
advertising
has integrity.
Or that hasn't, huh?
With integrity.
Yeah, yeah, we want integrity.
Or knowledge. Yeah.
But maybe you'll find somebody here. That
yeah.
would be good.
We do our own composting.
Good.
We have a couple of compost bins, one that's current and one that is cooking.
See? Perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah.
And so we'll use that to amend the soil in our garden beds.
Well, that gives me as a non-gardener an idea. You know, people don't understand how difficult our food system is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how the commercial farms have sort of taken over.
Oh yeah.
And when you're doing your own gardening and then cooking from that to garden,
uh-huh.
you learn something about yourself and about how to provide for others as well.
Well, and you get better nutrition.
Well, sure.
The stuff that is grown in big factory farms is
right.
starved of nutrients, because mm-hmm. that soil has been used over and over yeah. and over and artificially mm-hmm. amended mm-hmm. or
chemically,
worse,
yeah.
chemically dealt with pesticides.
Yeah.
There was, do you remember Joe, help me, what's her last name? Growing on the Wild Side is the book that she wrote. She lives on the island. She's got a terrific garden.
Yeah.
I would die if her last name's Gardner. But it's like her last
name. Robinson?
Yeah, maybe that's it.
I think it's it.
But it's called Growing on the Wild Side. She talks about all these varieties of plants that maybe have fallen by the wayside, but are kind of coming back with the help of really good seed growers and geneticists. And on that note, I get my seeds from Territorial Seed in Oregon, because mm-hmm. they're kind of northwestern, and mm-hmm. the plants mm-hmm. they're geared for this area. It's like you're saying, there are nuances also to growing on this island. Things do grow on this island, but
yeah. Yeah, and there are people on the island who are, preserving all kinds of seeds.
Yes.
Many varieties of mm-hmm. seeds, and I can't remember the name of the group.
They're, yeah, could be the garden club.
The seed group. No, it's a separate group.
And they do seed saving.
It's doing seed saving. And I'm sorry, folks, I can't remember your name, but we'll get it.
The Clatch at... What's our
voiceofvashon.org. The Clatch, that's with a K.
Yes.
The KLATCH at voiceofvashon.org. Send us what you know.
Yes. We need it. We need your help. But we need it. Like, what's the seed library? Who does it? And when can we get some?
Yeah.
And I'll share too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the garden thing. And when my mom moved in with us from San Diego, which was recently, she came and helped me one day, and we put seeds in seed trays, and it was awesome. And then the ones she planted, mother, multiples were coming out of each cell, and I'm like, I'm gonna need to thin that later. We'll deal with that later.
That's one of my errors, being a sloppy gardener. I just kind of throw the seeds out there, and so we have bunches of little tiny beet shoots.
Oh baby.
And then a couple of actual beets next to them, because
that's how that is.
I'm not that careful. I paint the same way.
I got to see your paintings then.
Yeah,
sounds like Jackson Pollock.
Yeah, that's my wall.
But mom said, "Oh, wait, are you going to plant zucchini?"
Oh God!
And I said. Everybody grows zucchini, Mom. People can't get rid of that stuff in the summer. She goes on about, oh, I love it. I'm going to slice it and hollow it and fill it with breadcrumbs and Parmesan and butter and roast it. Oh, it's so good. And it does sound really good.
It does sound good.
Yeah. And I lock my car door in August because I'm afraid somebody's going to put a zucchini in it.
Okay. You want to hear a zucchini story?
Yeah.
Someone put a zucchini in my car on mm-hmm. Vashon a couple years ago, and it was the biggest zucchini you've ever seen. I swear it was at least 3 feet long.
Good grief.
2.5 maybe, and about as big around as a basketball.
Come on.
No, I'm not kidding. It was huge. I have photos. It was this big.
That sounds like a 40 pound zucchini.
It was.
Come on.
10.
That's ridiculous.
Maybe 10 pounds.
Okay.
It was giant. Okay.
Yeah. It's bigger every year.
Yeah.
It's like a fishing tail.
So anyway, it just so happened that I was on my way to Portland to visit my son. And so I left the zucchini in the car. And I went to Portland, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to leave that here for them.
Yes.
So they left for work, and then I was leaving in the morning, you know, closing up the house and stuff. So I just left this giant zucchini on their couch with a hat on it. And so I got a phone call later that night. What in the hell? What is this? What are we doing? And I said, just a zucchini. Well, they had more fun with that zucchini. Pretty soon, my daughter-in-law found the zucchini in the arm of her bathrobe. They found it. Somebody found it in the bathtub one morning.
See?
And then there's a whole series of photographs of sunglasses and wigs and hats and little aprons and this giant zucchini made his way around.
It became the Travelocity gnome.
It was kind of that. Yeah.
I love it.
It had a life of its own.
And but it's the fruitcake of summer. Except for you like fruitcake.
Well, I love fruitcake.
Well, you are in the minority.
Don't you want a zucchini? Sure you do. Here, have a zucchini.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Get a hard pass on
it. At least a fruitcake can be a doorstop. A zucchini. I don't know. You know, what do you do with it? Except put a hat on it and drive it around.
Well, that's what they do.
Actually, maybe you could use it so you could drive in the SUV, not the SUV lane.
In the two passenger lane.
Oh,
right. The fast lane.
HOV.
In the HOV.
HOV right. lane. Yeah. So maybe one seed of zucchini shall be planted in my household, in my garden. And I will let it trail, and I will let it produce zucchini, and I'm going to make my mom eat all of them.
And she'll enjoy being poetic with brushing it with butter and stuffing it with
things. Yes. And I'll be like, oh, now you have to cook it, Mom. Mm-hmm. Let's see you come up in this kitchen.
I am locking my car door.
Yes, because you're in my neighborhood.
I know.
I got something for you, Susan.
Never mind.
I love it. So I want to sidebar really quick, because right down the street at Vashon Island Bakery or Vashon Baking Company.
Oh, yeah.
There's this awesome exhibit, and it's all undersea photos taken by this young man. I think he's like 11 years old.
I think that's right.
Mm-hmm. Everett Hatfield, son of David Hatfield of Pink Tractor Farm fame. He is really into scuba and underwater diving, and they go right here at Tramp Harbor, and they go under the sea, under the sea, let's check it out. And so, awesome, beautiful photos of nudibranchs and anemone. And
what's a nudibranch?
Oh, it's like, there's so many in Puget Sound, and they're these fluffy, there's that word again, they're, and ruffly, beautiful little creatures, like about the size, like 3 inches. They're sea slugs. But they have all different ornamentation.
And did they float around or are they on the bottom?
They're on the bottom.
Yeah.
And they're so cool. And Everett, I swim Puget Sound. I have swum almost every single bit of coast around this island. I never see them.
Really?
This kid can see them. That is a gift, man.
And that's at Vashon Bakery?
Yeah. So okay. So he's selling them for $20 per.
Wow.
And it raises money for his scuba gear fund.
Oh, wonderful.
And so David posted it on one of the Vashon pages. Everybody jumped on and said, I love it. I love it. I'll buy it. Some people were in the bakery and going, oh my God, I got one. It's so beautiful. And then a lot of us were saying, hey, man, we would love to contribute. And without any sort of quid pro quo, we don't need anything. We just think you're awesome. I donated.
Wow.
His photographs really are nice. Beautiful.
Oh, I can't
so
wait to
good.
See.
Really, he's got a great eye.
So good. Yeah. So I just wanted to share that. If you have a chance just to pop up and support a kid, I think it's super cool.
Go have
cool.
a look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh died last week. Just thought I'd mention that. Yeah. The end.
You know,
well, unfortunately not. Yeah.
Frank Bruni wrote an opinion piece that says, is it really necessary to dance on Limbaugh's grave?
Yeah, I get
And
you.
I said,
yeah.
yes, it is.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, we don't speak ill of the dead normally, but
right, no.
I can't think of anything else to say, so I don't say anything.
You know, in my view, if a person is a jerk when they're alive, dying doesn't change that.
Fair.
And so I don't suddenly decide to be inauthentic or lie about how mm-hmm. I feel about the guy. I'm not going to miss him. I'm glad he's not going to be doing any more. I am sorry to say his legacy is going to live on, and he has spawned a whole lot of negative news coverage, if you will, hate talk shows, and I'm sure he's had a lot to do with the white supremacy movement.
Oh, he's had a lot to
so,
do with.
So, you know,
yeah.
he's just one person, but he had a lot of power, and unfortunately, his passage does not mean that his legacy is going to go away.
Somebody said, I think there was a whole bunch of feminazis at the pearly gates throwing him the other way.
I remember when there was a young woman on
arms locked.
Totally, yeah. totally. I know. I do wonder what Judgment Day was like. I do, you know, yeah. if you believe in that sort
if
of thing.
If you believe in that.
That
yeah.
must have been some Judgment Day.
Yeah.
That's just.
It must have been.
But the
music. Hasta la vista,
oh,
baby.
What's that?
Ooh. It's Arnold, yeah.
What's Arnold?
Yeah.
Did you do
Hasta
that?
La vista, baby. Yes, you yeah. don't want me. I'm over here playing with the sound effects.
Okay.
So the views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the board, staff, underwriters, and donors of Voice of Vashon. As an organization, VOV does not take political positions. We do support our show hosts and their guests in expressing their views, as long as they're not obscene or hate-mongering. Word.
That's right.
Did
That's
we border right. on hate?
We bordered on hate.
No,
I think.
We didn't.
We didn't? Okay.
No.
No, I think it was observation of the truth. Well, observation of the truth from my
point of view.
Susan's truth. Yes. Linda's truth. My
right.
truth, too.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I got into it with somebody close to me about that person's passing and ended up basically saying something that you both just articulated, just that, you know, there was a lot of hate spewed and incendiary language, and somebody who single-handedly had a platform that could easily incite an insurrection. And and I may have compared this departed to Hitler in that way. It didn't go over well.
I'm sure not.
So anyway, meh.
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 Yeah.
So how about talking about a little bit about ritual, because we have all had our rituals, and I know, Susan, you are the queen of rituals.
Well, kind of, I guess. I didn't know that, but,
yeah,
you know, I grew up Catholic.
Okay.
And
So.
I don't necessarily buy the dogma anymore, but I kind of got into the ceremony and the ritual stuff. And so when I left the Catholic Church and became a pagan, I liked the pagan stuff because they still get into ritual.
Yeah, they do.
And I believe ritual is something that we all really do every day in small ways. So I guess we decided we were going to share some of our rituals.
Definitely.
Well, and the thing is, ritual doesn't have to be something that you just say you're going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, Americans have a lot of rituals. We have pizza on Friday night, or we have, you know,
coffee in the morning.
Yeah, coffee. And that's a ritual
yeah.
for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I don't think ritual has to be something really big and powerful. It can just be something that soothes you. I mean, getting dressed is a ritual.
I think of, yeah, I think of ritual as things that ground us.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. One of my daily rituals, almost daily, is to get out and walk.
Walking,
particularly
yeah.
with COVID. I think
right.
I really started that ritual with COVID.
Yeah, you did. I remember.
And I have learned to mm-hmm. need it, love it, use it mm-hmm. to kind of clear my head no matter how I wake up in the morning.
You know, we talked about ritual, and I read some things that were really interesting, and one of them was that, you know, it's gone in the past, people used to take a day off, a day of rest, as a ritual.
Yeah,
and we don't ever do that anymore. And this article was so inspirational in how you just take 10 hours on a Sunday or a Tuesday or whatever and just say, I'm resting. Because what happens is your brain relaxes, your body relaxes. You have to learn to let go of the things you should be doing, that you say should, quote unquote, be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And let go of that, and your ritual becomes the rest. And the rest may be with a book or a movie or just by yourself in the woods, but you're resting. You're not fixing dinner, and you're not cleaning up that little mess in the corner or running outside because something, you know, needs trimming or all those things.
You're refreshing. And I think,
yes, refreshing is the word.
I think our American culture has screwed us over in the area of productivity.
Oh yeah.
We feel as though if our time is not being spent in productivity, in other words, making money or making something, it is not valued, meaning I'm not valued. I, as a
right.
human,
right.
my good health, my refreshment, my rest is not valued. So it's kind of like everything got turned around.
It did.
It's all about stuff and productivity, and humanity is the servant of that.
You're so striking a nerve. All my grandfather, my departed grandfather, awesome hero of mine, his chalkboard in his office, quote, what is the most productive thing I can be doing at this very moment?
Yeah.
And I think it was from those Tony Robbins days.
Yep, sure.
Yep.
And
sure.
And my grandfather was a badass
real estate
broker. He was a retired Marine colonel.
And remind me later to tell you about badass. No,
okay,
go ahead.
Sorry. Yes,
sorry.
Thank you. Oh, we should dig into that on the air.
Mm-hmm.
But you absolutely nailed it, because that is the truth. And I have that ingrained in me.
I do too.
We all do.
And what happens is I feel lazy.
Yeah.
I think, oh God, I'm just a slob today. Mm-hmm. I'm just laying here not mm-hmm. doing anything. And, you know, I probably wouldn't tell anybody.
Right. No, it has to be a shameful secret.
Yeah. And you know, I don't know Ovid, the Roman poet. You probably do.
Oh, I want to talk about that. Let me do some quick little dee-dee-dee.
Again?
I'm glad she keeps track of our underwriters.
I'm just, you know,
it's good.
What I'm supposed to do, man. So give me one second here.
Washington. This portion of Voice of Ashon programming is brought to you by PSCCU, proud to be Washington's Green Credit Union. Practicing socially responsible banking by supporting sustainability, job creation, local economies, communities statewide, and our environment. Learn more at psccu.org.
Can't do what we do without our underwriters, like Vashon Market IGA and Vashon Plaza, one block west of the main highway, where you can find everything your family needs, from fresh produce to kids specials, legendary meats, wine, spirits, and movies. Open daily from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
So
thank you, underwriters.
Yes, thank you, underwriters. We are grateful to you. We wouldn't be here without you.
Yeah. So we're on the topic of rest and relaxation.
Yeah.
And taking a break of a day, a resting day. And Ovid, the Roman poet, said, which goes back to what Heidi was talking about with regard to gardening. He says, take a rest in a field that has rested and you will have a bountiful crop.
Ah.
You know? So take a rest in a field. and the field will give bounty as well. And then Leonardo da Vinci said, every now and then go away, have a little relaxation, for when you come back to your work, your judgment will be surer.
Yes, you know? I believe
and
in that.
Go ahead.
I had a journalism instructor who told me that I used what he called the gestation method of creativity, because it looked like I would just sit down
and
pour forth from my head whatever I was supposed to be writing. But what I was actually doing was other stuff, you know, putzing around, doing this, doing that, mm-hmm. and letting it roll around in my head mm-hmm. so that, boom, it came mm-hmm. out. Gestation comes from rest.
Well, and the benefits, you know, the low stress, you get a healthier body because your body likes to relax. Your body needs to relax. And I think, you know, if we set aside time every week for resting, maybe we do it with a partner or a good friend, and it will deepen the relationship, you know, just rest together.
You know, when I was a kid, Sundays really were the day of rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the ritual, one of the rituals. First of all, we'd have a big Southern breakfast. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of divvied up the Sunday paper.
Mm-hmm.
And each of us took the part we wanted, usually the comic section. We'd take the part that we liked and languish over it. Take mm-hmm. our time
all
reading
day.
It.
I used to do that all the time.
Yeah.
New York Times all day long.
I don't remember the last time I did that.
No, I don't either. I don't either. The other thing that I think we do when we take time off and really rest is we store up some energy for what's coming. Because something else is going to happen. You know, something else will come that will require adrenaline or heavy activity of some kind.
Or energy.
Just energy.
Just
plain
energy.
Old energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And the, you know, the resting, it allows your muscles to rejuvenate. And it's just a good thing to do, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks who get into heavy physical activity sometimes mm-hmm. don't allow their muscles enough time to rest and refresh. Are you aware of that kind of thing, Heidi?
Acupuncture and massage weekly these days has become part of my ritual, and I love it. It's gonna be so expensive.
Nice.
It is expensive.
It is expensive, yeah.
I did a thing last week that I think it changed my life. I do. It was a sound bath. Have you ever had a sound bath?
Oh, tell us about
it. I have not.
Well, there's a young woman on the island named Nani Clem, C-L-E-M, and she has a series of crystal bowls, and there's a little, it looks like a towel, but it's not. It's a little thing she plays with them. Anyway, she knows how to take you into her little studio. It's all very safe. She's masked. I was masked. There's nobody else in there at all. Everything's sterilized, and she puts you on a table, puts a little blanket over you. It's a fully clothed experience. It's not like massage, but you're on a massage table.
Awesome.
And then she starts playing these bowls with these different tones, different sounds. And of course, the first 10 minutes I'm lying there thinking, oh, please, this is not going to work.
This is woo-woo.
This is so woo-woo. Because I'm kind of woo-woo sometimes, but not
You're
much.
Also like a BS buster, completely the other side of that. I see the pragmatic side of you, and I appreciate it. So to see the spiritual Linda let go.
Yeah, well, that's what happened. Okay. So there was, you know, 10 minutes of fidgeting and when's this going to be over? And then all of a sudden... there was a tone. I don't know what it was. I couldn't tell you what it was, but there was a tone. I went, wow, what is that? And away mm-hmm. I went.
Her eyes just rolled back in her head, by the way.
I'm telling you, it was like a journey of some sort with no drugs, no alcohol, no physical changes, nothing. And it was pure relaxation.
Awesome.
And pure. She also does Reiki while she's doing the sound. So you have all that energy moving through that room. And it changed me. I walked out of there. I have a lot of neck stuff and shoulder tension, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I walked out of there and I thought, oh my God, I'm all loosened up. And it lasted 3 days.
Stop it.
It lasted 3 days.
Did you feel benefits from it out of the gate, or was it the next day like an acupuncture treatment?
I felt immediately relief.
Okay.
But it kept coming up again over the next 3 days. Like, oh, that doesn't hurt. Oh, I just did that and that didn't hurt, you know? So I booked a once a month with her because I think it's really, really healthy to do that.
You know, there are so many things like that. Like you mentioned, Heidi, acupuncture, massage, Reiki, sound baths.
Yoga.
So many things that we can do that unfortunately a lot of them we can't do right now. Just getting a facial. Something that, you know, but we're missing human touch.
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. And I know that when you live alone, that's pretty hard to come by. Thank God you have cats. When you live with somebody.
They're not very good foot rubbers, though.
No, they're not. I have dogs who lick my toes.
Well, oh,
and
you know.
I love that.
There's something called shrimping. That's what that is. But
shrimping,
humans,
really?
When humans suck toes, called shrimping.
Oh,
I know a lot about this, Heidi. We got to have another show about all the terminology Heidi knows.
And shrimping.
Shrimping.
I am going straight to Hades, man.
No, not today. It won't happen today.
But you know, if you can't afford to go out for a massage and you have a partner, you can talk them into trading.
You can.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah. Trading at-home massage is good.
Yeah.
Or you can massage yourself.
Well, you can actually.
Yeah.
You actually Qigong. There are instructional videos on YouTube. Qigong.
I wondered how you say it.
And there is a wonderful Buddhist monk who teaches you how to massage your body. And I've been doing it. It's just incredible. It's just you do these movements, and you know I'm trying it out.
That's cool.
And there's something called tapping.
Oh yeah, that
to reduce your anxiety
and pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it really works. You know, there's a whole, I'm sitting here, I'm doing it as we speak.
We look like little typewriters.
Twitch? What twitch?
Speaking of rituals.
Yes.
We forgot. Twitching ritual?
Well, we didn't go to rituals, really.
We're sort of.
Well, we kind of did.
Oh, okay. All right.
What you got, Susan?
I want to talk about something.
Yeah.
Please.
Can you raise my hand?
Yeah.
There's a woman chef in France whose name is Helene Darroze.
Oui.
And she just received, she's the first woman in history to receive 2 stars at the same time. She received, she has a 3-star in Paris called the Cominat. And then she has one in England somewhere, I think. Anyway, she just got a Michelin 3 stars. And it's a pretty incredible award for her. And she, what I'm getting to here is the feminine aspect of cooking.
Yes.
Ah.
Okay, here we go. So she claims that her, she's 55, I think, that her route to stardom, if you will, because now she's a celebrity, of course, has been her feminine energy. And she says, you know, and I'm not, the caveat goes, not every man is like this, okay? But
yes.
She says, a man primarily wants to show off what he can do, whereas a woman wants to please. It's more about the emotion to which technique is added rather than technique with emotion added.
Oh.
And I just thought that was really an interesting thing from a woman's point of view.
So she's saying that she makes good food because she puts her feelings
into it. Yes, because it's like water for chocolate kind of thing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And she just encourages us, women, to not try to be somebody else. Just be who you are.
Has she been around forever?
She's been around for a long time, and she's been in some pretty tricky situations. And she was talking about what goes on in the back of the house when you're a woman, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's pretty bad, really.
In the back of the restaurant house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they call it, the back of the house.
Yeah, the back of the house. Well, not everybody knows that. In the kitchen.
In the kitchen. And that there's a lot of patriarchy in the kitchen. And this is where I wanted to tell you about the term badass.
Okay, go.
Oh.
It's from, it's a racist thing from the South.
Oh, no.
Really? Yeah.
I'm going to have to strike that off of my...
I know you will, because it was a way of the white plantation owners naming their slaves. Like, he's a real badass. This one's a badass.
Oh, no.
And that's where it came from. I just learned that this week.
So that was like an unruly pet.
Yeah. He was a badass. Yeah. So,
but you know, a lot of folks in the black community have adopted that term. So,
well,
you know, it might
probably
be
nobody
that,
knows
that it's been,
I don't know,
sanitized, if you will.
Yeah.
Or repurposed.
Yeah.
To be a more positive thing. Because True. A lot of black women like to call themselves badass.
Well, and a lot of them are.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
sure. One time, Emma Amiad posted on Facebook this really athletic 70-something-year-old who was so cut and muscular, and someone wrote, "Oh, man, that is so kick-ass." And somebody else took offense and said, "Oh, you're into violence because you're using that language." And I was like, oh man.
Please.
That's that's another whole show.
Yeah, it is.
Language. Yeah.
And also other people ganged up on Emma and said, "You're body shaming anyone who doesn't look like this." And that wasn't even the point. I know Emma was in the military and she loves athletic people and was like, "Way to go, lady," who, she's bodybuilding and whatever. But yeah, it was a backfire. So thank you for that. The badass vernacular. And I appreciate that.
There are a lot of other words in the kitchen with regard to women that men have used for a long time.
Just in the kitchen?
Well, I'm just talking about the kitchen. Okay. But ball buster. If she's strong, she's a ball buster.
I got called that.
Oh, I've been called that a lot.
Or Volkswagen.
She can be nurturing. She's a nurturing chef. Uh-huh. Or bitchy.
Oh,
and
sure.
Yeah, she said that, bitchy was what she got, but she was strong.
I got that. I got called the F&B from my first husband when I was offered a PR job in Seattle. We were living in Hawaii.
Wow.
You're a F&B. You're acting like a F&B. I'm obviously, it was worse than that.
Well, yeah.
But, that... I recently heard the term strident applied to Pramila Jayapal.
I heard that too.
As she was making a statement that had a man made it, would have been strong.
Isn't that true?
They say that about Rachel Maddow too.
Yeah,
of course.
She's too strident.
Yeah, because she's strong.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. God forbid one should be strident. It's not pretty. It's not attractive. And that is all that you are supposed to be, girls.
Yeah. Forget that intellect.
Yeah, just forget it.
How are your knees?
Only your hairdresser knows for sure.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And by the way, check it out. I'm showing my roots.
Oh, yeah, you got some roots there.
Not your genetic roots,
correct,
but your hair roots, yes.
And so being of a certain age, 52,
you're just a spring chicken, honey.
I'm talking child. To Sarah St. Germain, who does my hair normally. I finally booked.
Oh,
like
good.
The first time this year I booked. It's time. It's like my roots are 3 inches long, but I've got the silvers coming in. And we have this arrangement that when it gets to 50% or more, it's time to stop highlighting and just let them
happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let mine go.
Yeah. I love your hair.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
It's got color in it and it's got salt and pepper here. And we it affect. Want you to push it. Sorry.
Push it. Push it.
Oh, if only I could do
that. That was good.
Yeah.
So,
I stopped coloring my hair 10 years ago.
Okay.
I didn't know what color it was. I thought I had a little gray streak.
And there it is.
It was 18 months of really ugly lines going down, and the gray streak never stopped.
Oh.
It just went and went.
Hey,
and
you know
and now
what?
Now it's silver.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Why?
Did we talk about Vashon Eats?
Let's talk about it. No,
I don't
haven't.
Think we did. We didn't mention them as a delivery service.
Have you? Tell me your experience.
I've used them many times.
Okay.
And I think they're wonderful. I spoke with Kingsley, who is, I think, the idea man. It's his company.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah.
He and his wife and their baby. And I'm telling you, the food arrives hot, and they have independent delivery people.
Awesome.
And they're always really friendly, right on time. They take a picture of it. Of the food that they've delivered to you so that there's a record that they delivered it.
I love that.
And they're friendly and happy. And I just say, call Vashon Eats. They're on the
awesome.
Web, vashoneats.com, and they have several restaurants from whom they will deliver hot, tasty food.
So are all those menus right there under
they're
the
on
umbrella?
They're on the website. They're on that website. You can go to the individual restaurant too, but Vashon Eats has all the restaurants and all their menus.
And they picked that idea up almost immediately when COVID started. Yeah. That was very smart.
I mean, it gets expensive, but, you know, they have little fees for things like recyclable things and the compostable.
And you can skip the silverware, obviously, right?
Just say,
napkins, no silver.
Yeah.
That'll help do it, too.
Whoa, we're out of time.
We are.
We are there, you guys.
Thank you for listening.
This is KVSH LP. You've just heard The Clatch. Email your topic ideas to us at theclatch@voiceofvashon.org. Cheers, yo.
Bye-bye.
Bye.